I've often said that there's a certain Lincoln-esque karma about Barack Obama's future. And in the book, I said, you know, if we were back in a time machine and we went back and interviewed people at the end of President Lincoln's first year in office and compared how what people felt about Barack Obama to President Lincoln, they would feel a whole lot more positive about Barack Obama than President Lincoln, because a lot of people that time thought that his inexperience and his statements early on in his presidency actually gathered many more states to join the Confederacy, including the state and the man that he wanted to pick to run the Union forces, Robert E. Lee. Virginia also went over the Confederacy, and a lot of people at the time were thinking President Lincoln, by misspeaking and drumming up the passions in his early speeches, actually caused the deaths of hundreds of thousands of more people in this Civil War. So, but if you had told people at the end of 1861 or early 1862 that the future Americans would be thinking of President Lincoln as one of the greatest presidents in our history, they would laugh you out of Washington. But that happened.
That happened. That's
and
right.
It happened mostly in what was a disastrous, full of military disasters and setbacks and bloodshed, a disastrous first term. But at the very end, towards the elections, things slowly, Lincoln was tinkering with how to win the war like Barack Obama is going to be tinkering with how to turn the economy around. And rather than firing generals here and left, he may be firing Geithner and then firing his replacement and firing his replacement until he finally hears somebody who gets out of the dogma and starts thinking like a person in the Aquarian age, which means change.
Where does Hillary Clinton fit into this? Is she going to pop up all of a sudden?
Well, it's funny because the two of them had presidency in their destiny. And I kind of rather famously got into a lot of criticism for saying that I thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be the president.
Yes.
And I was wrong about that. And Obama surged up and took it over. But the thing I couldn't shake was that they were going to be a dream team. Even when she didn't get the vice presidency, I couldn't shake this strong message of saying, this is weird, but they are going to be a really hot team anyway. And then look what happened after he was elected. He, to even her surprise, he chose her to be the Secretary of State, which in a way puts her in a position of a lot more influence in the legacy of his presidency related to the world in this unique crisis-filled time. Than if she had been vice president.
I find it interesting that she was in London during his first State of the Union address. Kind of distance, or maybe she had to really be away?
Well, no, she was. I think that there was already work in. She was already going to work unofficially. I think she was already. There were some developments happening where the Iranians were beginning to open up. There was a conference, I think, around that time.
Yeah.
And I think she was actually working. And that's the other thing that's rather surprising about this year we're entering. I call this year in the book Predictions for 2010 a wild card year in prophecy. But there are it's like if Nostradamus looked like Gomer Pyle, he'd be saying, surprise, surprise, surprise. It's like when you get up every morning, you prepare yourself for the world to have changed. This is very Aquarian age stuff.
Oh, and you talk about change, John. I left St. Louis. It was 5 degrees. And then I come back to 5 days of a mini monsoon in Los Angeles. This planet is going through an incredible series of Earth changes.
It is.
And you've predicted even more.
Yes. Unfortunately, my track record when it comes to predictions about climate change, every year gets more accurate. I'm not happy about that because it's getting worse.
I'd like you to be wrong on most of them, but you're not.
I'm not, and I don't know where I get that with the weather. I guess I'm weather sensitive, but I didn't think it would go that far. The you know, it's documented in my books that and for predictions for 2009, I had almost 100% accuracy on anything I mentioned about the weather and the extremes that are coming. Even with 2010, which I actually signed off and sealed on All Souls Day, November 1st, 2009. So the predictions start going from November 1st on. And already sealed and documented what I said in the book, that you would start 2010 with record blizzards and cold snaps. And you would think, with all the rain that's falling in the West, where it's so parched, that you would not have a fire season that's that serious, but you would have one that would actually transcend 2008.
How about the earthquake? Do you see it here for Southern California?
The major areas of concern are, for me, are closer to the border with Mexico. In 2008, I talked about it more towards behind San Diego, and then there was that volcano that then became active in Mexicali that had been dormant for a long time. So my sense is something may be coming in Los Angeles, but I'm also sensing it for China again and India. The thing that's coming is a dramatic spike in climate-related and earthquake and other natural disasters. And unfortunately, I was saying that in the book, and then look, I was in Mexico City doing something for History Channel. The day that I got there was the day that the Haitian quake hit.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that's that. We do not live in a fishbowl with just our own views. We do not live like people in the House and the Senate and executive branch who see the world within their little Capitol building as the way the world is. The world that we live in is interconnected, not just between each other, but with the animals, with the stars, with the planet. And the things that are going on in our evolutionary crisis are also affecting what's going on in the earth, in the seas, in the reality of our corner of the universe.
John, why are things so intense? And by that I mean, when we have trouble with the economy, it's not just a little bit of trouble, it's intense. When we have earthquakes, they're intense. When we have floods, they're intense. What's happening? Why are things so intense?
What I think is happening is that we have entered something I've been saying for 30 years, that once the year 2000 passes, things, we enter in the 21st century, we're entering 100 years of evolutionary travail and crisis. We're entering the birthing of a new humanity and a new world. And it's not going to be the way it's been dogmatically preached by many different religions as some doomsday where some guy comes out of a cloud and saves everybody from themselves. That's a very Piscean age projection on a very un-Piscean, more scientific, rational Aquarian age. It is intense because we are like the whole planet and ourselves are like a mother giving birth to something. This is the contractions of the birth. You have so many cycles.
Get the epidural then.
We have so many cycles of time and prophecy that are rebooting right now in the next 30-year period. And even though Roland Emmerich and Hollywood gets all excited about 2012, thank goodness it's the last doomsday date that people can get kind of chicken little-ish on. And once that passes, people are going to have to take a look at the future as it is coming at them every moment. Because the Aquarian age is on, and it's going to be a time when we have to, especially now in astrology, for the next 18 or so years, we have a thing going on in layman's terms, which hasn't gone on since there was revolutions in America in 1770s.